Item one is a subdivision and rezoning at property located on the east side of Shaftesbury Boulevard, south of Grant Avenue, under file DASZ9/2014. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely, item two is a variance at the said property under file DAV110299/2014D.
All right. I'm suspecting you're Mr. Serrano?
Yes, I am. Okay. Thank you.
And you're the applicant or representing the applicant?
I'm both a lawyer and the president of the developing company.
All right. Thank you. Well, proceed, sir.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman and members of the Community Committee. This application arises out of the fact that the City of Winnipeg had decided that a approximately 2-acre parcel of land on Shaftesbury was surplus land, and consequently it was offered for sale. Bids were invited, which bids required an indication as to what the bidder intended to do with the property. Bidders were encouraged to speak to James Veach, who is the planner, who is designated for the purpose of receiving calls concerning this property. Prior to the bids closing, we had a discussion with, several discussions actually, with James Veach, so as to ensure that the nature of the development which we proposed was consistent with the city's vision for development of this approximately 2-acre parcel. And we received positive feedback, and consequently we went forward with a bid. That bid was subsequently the bid selected and ultimately approved by the Council of the City of Winnipeg. Subsequent to that, or consequent upon that occurring, an offer to purchase was entered into between the city and 675-5781 Manitoba LTD. Consequent upon that process, we then embarked on applying to the City of Winnipeg for the zoning to accommodate the concept that we had outlined in our offer to purchase, and as well in discussions with James Veach. As you may recognize, if you had an opportunity to read the planner's report, you would have seen within that report a letter that I sent to the neighbors. I call them neighbors because, for any of you who are golfers, I live about an 8-iron away from this property, very close in proximity to this property. I'm at the corner of Bard and Holland, the southeast corner. So we built our house in 1986, and I've watched the whole neighborhood grow up. And as you noticed, if you read that letter to neighbors, it was myself who spearheaded the existence of Bard Place rather than a multi-story, multi-family, high-rise, 3 or 4 story development that had originally been planned by the developer of the what was then called Tuxedo South. So I've taken a great interest throughout as the neighborhood has grown up. Then this land became available, and I felt that because I have lived in this neighborhood for 28 years, this is close by me, that I have both a sense and sensitivity as to what would be an appropriate and non-intrusive development in this area. Based on the size of this parcel of land, and it's, I noted that it was included as a reference in the planner's report, this land could support 66 units. Now, a 66-unit development on this parcel of land, in my opinion, respectfully, would be overdevelopment of the land. Yes, as a developer, one always wants to maximize the potential for profit out of land. But I think it also carries with it the responsibility to have a sensitivity to where you're developing and what is the character of the neighborhood, and in this case, my neighborhood. And so it was with that in mind that we had described to originally to James Veitch and referenced in our offer to purchase, which is in effect the bid, the notion of developing a in effect a cul-de-sac entering off of Shaftesbury, which would contain luxury bungalow dwellings, probably 9, because that we had said 9 to 11, I think, in our submission. But as we worked on the site plan, it seemed most convenient to go with 9. Yes, we'd rather have 11, but it just didn't, in our view, lay out in the best way. So this is the result, or this application, or these applications, are the result of that process, creating a fair land condominium format, which will accommodate 9 luxury detached bungalows, each on their own titled lot. And as I said, to ensure that it minimizes impact on the neighboring properties, it would be accessed through a private road off of Shaftesbury. If I can share with you my thinking on this, my instinct was that what we would look to create is sort of an enclave of luxury homes that are really geared to, I would call them, the empty nesters or the near empty nesters. These are essentially people who either have no children at home or maybe one 19-year-old that will be flying the coop soon. Basically, it's people who are often downsizing from a large two-story home and looking for the kind of more the bungalow, and in the context of a bare land condominium where there is the condominium corporation serving the interests of the 9 homeowners to cut their grass, clear their snow, and provide those kinds of common services. These often are people who are absent from the city, either for short or extended periods of time. So they want to continue to have a particular lifestyle and accommodation in forms of a luxury home, but they like the idea of in being in a small enclave, in a circumstance where services that they might individually have to take care of are going to be taken care of for them. Typically, we see the footprint of the homes in the 2,000 to 3,500 square feet. Probably, although it may not be of great interest to you, the pricing in the $750 to $1.5 million range. Our current thought process is that every home will be individually architecturally designed. The idea here is to offer people who can afford it the opportunity to build a luxury home that fits their criteria. Not my criteria, but their criteria. We might have overall criteria relating to the development of each lot, but essentially every home would be individually architecturally designed. In every respect, I suppose one might say, from a general appearance point of view, it wouldn't look terribly dissimilar to Bard Place, which to the south it backs on, which is a long cul-de-sac with what most people would typically call luxury homes. In every sense of the word, this is a low-density use of the land. And if you look at the diagram, which accompanied the application, you will get a sense of it as it comes in from Shaftesbury on a single roadway, every home utilizing that roadway, a turnaround at the east end to accommodate the potential for fire trucks, public works, for garbage, et cetera, et cetera. What you will see is if you look immediately to the interesting part of this property, and perhaps one of the challenges of this property, is the fact that there is a hydro substation immediately to, we'll call it, immediately to the north, which has its own challenge. To try to address some of that challenge, you will see that immediately east of the hydro substation, we have shown a park area. The idea here is to intensively landscape that, most particularly with evergreens, because they will give screening, if you will, the whole year round. Our initial plan had the lot beside that almost go up to the hydro substation. We decided that wasn't right. We had to look at screening intensively the hydro substation. We also are planning to can I perhaps leave you? How many do we need?
Four.
Four?
Five. One,
five. So five or six. If you got the extras, you can back. We actually engaged a landscape architect because we wanted to come here today and give you, you know, at least a better look at this rather than what you would gather from the diagram site plan that was provided with the application. And I only point out to you from this that you will see, and the landscape architect tells me that if you look at those trees by the hydro substation, the way they're drawn is to connote evergreen trees. And so what we're trying to do, I mean, what is important to do, both from a, you know, a city, a development point of view, is to create a certain kind of ambience and atmosphere to the property. And that's what we intend to do. We might also point out that even though no park area is even required, we do at the rear, if you go to the east end and the south side of the turnaround, you will see that we have also designated a little park area there for the use and amenity of those people who may choose to live here. So our intention is, if you know, we haven't looked yet at street lighting, but if we do street lighting, that it would be kind of downward facing street lighting. We haven't fully decided how we're going to deal with that area at the very front to the south of the driveway in. We'll be kind of guided in that as we engage in marketing as to what the residents of the area or the condo corp that evolves would want to see in that. But what I think is important to appreciate from all that I've said is that we are taking a very conservative approach to development of this parcel with a minimum of single-family detached homes located on a private street. And it's fair to say that the city of Winnipeg is selling the land with an expectation of development. In fact, on the bid, one had to identify the nature of the development that one anticipated or was intending to develop. I have no doubt, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, that there were people who put in bids with an intention of an extreme intense use of the land, perhaps up to the 66 unit maximum. Perhaps it's a reflection of the fact that we took this conservative approach, and this very low density approach perhaps was a significant factor in the decision by the powers that be to select our bid. I can't, in all honesty, envision any development which would be more in harmony with the surrounding neighborhood than the development we are proposing. I mean, clearly this land is not going to remain a field or a cabbage patch forever, and the city is selling it so that it can be developed. What is most important is how it's being developed and how densely or non-densely it's being developed. And so we come to you here today on, I'll call it, three kinds of applications. One is a rezoning, and I think the comments that I made speak to the issue of the rezoning. One is called a subdivision. Now, that's not of our making. There's no land that is being subdivided, and there's no land that's being consolidated. The only reason that the word or the application references subdivision is because of the fact that the land is currently referenced at land titles as a public reserve, and the city, before it can sell the land, has to have it re-described. And so we've been called upon, although one could say it was really the city's responsibility because they got to deliver title to us, but we've taken on the responsibility of the subdivision so that a new plan of subdivision can be filed, and that subdivision will identify this parcel as either parcel 1, parcel A, lot 1, lot A, whatever. So in any real sense of the use of the word subdivision, this is not a subdivision, but it's a necessity. The other thing that we're here for is an application with respect to reduction of the rear yard requirement from 25 feet to 16.4 feet. Just to be clear to yourself, or if there's anyone here who intends to oppose, that is only affects, sorry, that was so we could build this house at the east end of the property to within 16.4 feet instead of 25 feet. Doesn't affect any of these other dwellings. And the east end of the property is abuts or adjoins a large open space, vacant land, field, and when I say vacant land, it's like the football field of St. Paul's High School. And in fact, we've had discussions with the people at St. Paul's High School because we're looking at the possibility of their actually providing us with an easement so that we can bring services in through the easement, which would be the easiest way. So they're well aware of the fact that this development is going on. This in no way affects them, and as noted by the planner in his report, he said this vacant open space creates a form of natural separation between school and the proposed dwellings. So there is, no one here, I'm sure, suggesting that they're having any objection to the reduction of that rear yard. It really doesn't impact on anyone. I know that, of course, you have had the chance to read the administration report. The administration report recommends all of these applications. It does contain some conditions, and at some point, I'm assuming you may wish me to comment on those conditions. With respect to those conditions,
Mr. Serrano, we're aware of those, so if I could request that you start wrapping up, we'll...
Yeah, I don't know if the planner wants to speak to two of the conditions, because it was decided or determined, and he's in agreement, that those conditions, one should be deleted and one should be varied. I would certainly speak to that, but if you want to hear from the planner and then ask me any questions touching on the matter, that would certainly be fine, too.
Maybe we'll hold off. If you're close to being finished your presentation,
I am, other than to comment about the condition issue,
okay.
But I know the planner wants to jump in on that as well.
Do you want to make comments on?
Yes, sure. It's with regard to, there's two conditions, but with regard to the zoning agreement and condition number four, we've identified that this condition is already is part of the same agreement and is not required to be a part of the zoning agreement. So we
number four?
Yeah.
So is it?
Under 2A, subsection 4. Of my report, page 2. I'll see what it looks like online.
Okay. 2. In the subdivision of region.
Roman numeral. Because the condition is already identified as part of the sales agreement.
Well, the sale becomes null and void, does it not? If this condition is not met.
Correct. So it's a requirement of the sales agreement. So if that condition is not met, then yes, you're right. The sale becomes.
Can I be asking a question?
Sure.
Do we have proof that that condition was met?
Yes, the requirement is that it go back to the city solicitor for any easement approval.
But this cross-access agreement would be with Hydro, wouldn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yes,
and
exactly.
So do we have something?
Can I try to clarify?
Sure. Well, because condition 6 of the sales agreement says that the purchaser shall negotiate an easement with Manitoba Hydro for their existing facilities and access to the adjacent hydro substation.
Right, so do we have a letter of support or something saying that condition has been met?
No, I just to be clear.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, if I can clarify. First off, the description in number 4 is erroneous to start with, but that having been said, it is a condition in two respects. One, it is a condition of the agreement for purchase and sale. So without that being in place, the city won't sell the land. They won't deliver title of the land. That's number one. Number two, as part of the subdivision process, a lady by the name of Angie Savage, which is in charge of that area, she circulates, when it hits her desk, every utility. And until the utilities have signed off that they're satisfied with all the easements, if they need them, they won't release the Mylar, so you can't you can't complete a subdivision anyways. So it's totally unnecessary, and there's a potential that the Hydro may have a different idea as to access rather than this property, but whether that works or not is a different story.
What has our legal protections?
That they're required to confirm this access and easement prior to the approval.
Why are you proposing taking that item out?
Well, for two reasons. The first is that it is erroneous. The condition is actually irrelevant because it is in reference to a cross-access agreement, mm-hmm. when in fact it's really an access easement that's required. Mm-hmm. Cross-access is when there's requirement between both property owners to be able to move back and forth between the properties, but the reality is that it's only hydro that needs access across the applicant's property.
I have some more questions from you, Mr. Simon. Could you tell us what addresses, how many homes did you go to with your notice, and did you have conversations with homeowners?
No, well, you saw the letter, and by the way, just for clarity, the letter was actually dated May 13th, I think, when it got reprinted to send it to Mr. Clark. That was the date when it got reprinted, but it was actually on the 13th. The answer is it went to every home on Bard Place with one exception. Bard Place has a community mailbox, but out of the 17 homes on that Bard Place, 14 had mailboxes. Three people did not have mailboxes. Of the three people, I personally delivered one by hand. Another, the people were away. I know the people, so I knew their email, and so I sent it to them by email. And the last of the 17 is a house that's for sale, and by talking to the neighbors, I found out the people have vacated. There's no one up there. I did speak to some of the neighbors. I invited them all to call. The only contact I had, however, was from some of the people on Bard Place in what I'll call a social setting, and all of the people who did approach me on those occasions were supportive. Moreover, they said they each had friends who are interested in how they could get a lot.
Did you go to Shaftesbury, the 500 block of Shaftesbury?
The 500 block of Shaftesbury. I'm not sure where the 500 block of Shaftesbury is.
Well, the 500 block of Shaftesbury.
No, but I'm not sure.
Did you go there with your notice, too?
With my notice?
Yeah.
Well, the property is posted.
Right.
The property is posted. It appeared as well in the newspaper. And it's a huge poster. So anyone on Shaftesbury would be aware of it.
Could you just answer my question?
No, I didn't.
You didn't go there. Okay, because I had some calls in my office, and I'm just trying to find out whether you went there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that north of Grant?
Yes, it is. Who at the schools, you mentioned St. Paul's, who at the schools specifically did you consult with?
Did they speak to at St. Paul's?
Yeah.
The president, Father Lamb.
Okay, and what about at Shaftesbury?
I didn't speak to them at Shaftesbury.
Okay, that's
all
my questions for
you. All right, we will ask you to stand down, Mr. Sarno.
Well, wait a second. Oh, there was a second condition.
Oh, was there a second condition?
That requires revision, and I understand, I believe, Mr. Clark wants.
It may require revision, and it's subject to the discussion that occurs today. But it's with regard to the plan approval condition and whether or not it be subject to the community committee approval or the director of planning, property, and development approval. And the reasons for that is that because each individual title would be required to come back to the Assiniboia Community Committee for approval, it may be a little bit more of a lengthy process in that regard. So it's something that we highlighted as a point to discuss at the hearing tonight.
Everybody come about this. We'll see if we get that part.
Sure.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I may have an opportunity to just comment on that. I never saw this condition until yesterday when the report from administration was available. This condition, respectfully, is unnecessary. I certainly could see the potential that it be referred to the director of the department to take a look at. But for nine individuals or nine matters to have to come back to the community committee, is overkill in my submission. Plus, I think you'll make the process impossible for the development of the property as intended. And so if you feel there's protection needed, that can be afforded through the necessity of obtaining the approval and design, etc., through the director. To have to come back 9 times to the community committee will basically kill the project.
Got it. All right. Do we have anyone? All right, anything further, Paul? No.
I'll wait till you
can. The administration, any comments at this point? No. Thank you, sir. We'll
thank you.
Ask you to step down. We'll ask if there's anybody else in support, but as you'll be coming back to respond or close, the only thing, you can't introduce new information. You'll only be able to respond to what you hear in the close or possibly in opposition. So. All right, I'll ask again, is there anybody else in support of this application? Is there anybody else in support of this application? Seeing none, we'll move to the folks that have registered in opposition, and you can share with us your thoughts if you wish, or just identify as being in opposition. And I'll start with Peter and Sherry McDonald. Would you like to speak?
Sure.
Please. Just state your name and address, sir, and away you go.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak. My name is Peter McDonald. I'm at 68 Bard Place, which is just south of the east end of the proposed development. We moved there and built in 2001, and the pact I made with my wife when we moved off the river in Charleswood is that we didn't want to stare out at houses, and there was no indication when we developed or moved into the area, into the development adjacent to a public reserve, that there would ever be any development. But we understand that the city has declared it as surplus and property has been sold. We believe that the process of this has not been followed very well. The notification of the meeting back in last year, just before the sale, was we only found out through our neighbors a couple of days before the community committee meeting, and we're unfortunately out of town and impossible for us to attend. This meeting was not well posted as well, and we were notified by our real estate agent, or actually by the neighbor's real estate agent, the one that's for sale at 64 Bard Place, that this meeting was taking place. And the same real estate agent is very concerned over the fact that 64 Bard Place, and 64 Bard Place has representation here, is not selling. It's been for sale for some time. It's a high-end house, as is ours, and its value may have been knocked down by $150,000 or $200,000 as a result of this proposed development. The we understand that development does have to occur and has to be done tastefully, but the killer in this whole thing is the proposal to reduce the property space between the end of the building just adjacent to us, and Mr. Sorino has identified that it's only going to affect one property. Well, only one property is not accurate. It's going to affect a couple of properties, and he's very concerned about affecting St. Paul's, but he doesn't seem to be very concerned about affecting us. We're directly adjacent, and we would have a building staring right into our backyard, and we spent $100,000 landscaping the backyard, and we'll be staring into somebody's living room. So we're quite upset about that. There's also a number of questions about the development, the street lights, which are not yet, I understand, through Mr. Sorino's presentation, determined. The additional traffic off Shaftesbury, the danger of the same. The hydro easement has been covered, and there's a big question mark there. There's a public walkway, which is just to the east of 72 Bard, which is our neighbor to the east. And that public walkway is used by the entire Bard Place community to walk onto the school field or the public reserve, existing public reserve, and over into the Assiniboine Forest. From what I can see, that access will be probably cut off unless I'm misunderstanding it. So in summary, we feel that the process here has not been followed very well. We did receive Mr. Sorino's letter. We have not had any consultation from him. We are, I think, arguably most affected at our lot than any of the other lots, but I think all the lots will be affected on that, especially the north end of that cul-de-sac. We're prepared to look at all legal options, including we've already been in consultation with a lawyer. We understand that development has to occur, but whether compensation is warranted or not, I guess that'll be up for legal discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you coming down. Timothy A. Martin, on behalf of Ken and Linda Hillish.
Hi, good evening. For the record, my name's Timothy Martin, and I'm appearing on behalf of Ken and Linda Hillish. They certainly would have appeared themselves and spoke, but unfortunately they have a personal matter, a memorial that they had to attend this evening, so they asked me to appear in their place and to express their concerns and opposition to the proposed development. I acted for the Hillishes when they built their home back in 2003. They live at number 60 Bard Place. I don't know if you're looking at a legal description of the properties, but they're on lot 4. That's on the north side of Bard and the cul-de-sac out to the west end. Their backyard would be opposite this new development. The key points I'd like to make was that this land was marketed on the basis that it was only for a very low density residential development. It's classified under the Plan Winnipeg's Complete Communities as what they call an area of stability, meaning that it is to afford only low to moderate changes in these low density neighborhoods. Redevelopment is to be complementary to the existing scale, character, and built form of the neighborhood. And I think that's something that's very important to consider, the context in which this development is taking place. I didn't have the opportunity to see the drawing that Mr. Sorino passed around. I'm not sure if the drawing shows only the proposed new development or if it shows it such that you can see the context of it next to the size of the existing lots. I have a copy of what is perhaps the proposed new lot sizes for these nine new lots. And I did some math and came up with an average of 5,900 square feet as an average lot size for these new lots. I think it's important to compare that to the context of the adjacent 11 Bard Place lots, which average 14,786 feet in lot area. So there's a significant change, almost greater than double an increase in density in these homes. Also, at the time the people built, they purchased these lots of generous size because they wanted large yards. They wanted generous backyards. And although the area is zoned such that there is a minimum 25-foot rear yard requirement, I doubt many of these lots built to the minimum. Certainly the Hillishes lot was built to almost double the minimum rear yard requirement. And that's the context of of that neighborhood. Generous side yards, generous backyards, a neighborhood where you're not feeling walled in by your neighbors, where you've got some space. The proposed new development, although Mr. Sorino has indicated that the requested change to 16.9 feet for the rear yard would only affect one particular property, it appears that the proposed sort of site plan which he's presented, shows 20-foot rear yards for the homes that back on to the Bard Place homes along the north line. So certainly we would have a row of homes that are now at 20 feet from the rear property line, as opposed to the Bard Place homes, which are typically close to double the 25-foot minimum, 50 feet back. So it is quite a change. And the complete community's planning dictates that the context is very important and that only minimal changes in density should be occurring. The main concerns of the high lashes are decreased privacy in their backyard. They have a swimming pool, decreased privacy from the windows at the rear of their home, increased vehicle traffic in the area, increased noise, increased lights from additional street lights out the back, which weren't there before, and increased lights from headlights of vehicles driving and parking. Suggestions that they had were landscape buffers and increased fencing to maintain privacy. Lot sizes should remain large in keeping with the existing neighborhood. No lots should back on to the existing barred lot places. And certainly no decreased rear yard clearance for new lots backing onto Bard. They've also expressed that they would wish maintained the existing trees on the east and south sides of the hydro substation, which currently provide a much desired visual barrier to that structure, and those should be maintained or enhanced. So that's pretty much the concerns that they have, and you know, once again, I just wanted to stress, going back to the description when the land was sold, that it was suitable for very low density detached bungalow development, and that the redevelopment as per areas of stability in complete communities is to be complementary to the existing scale, character, and built form, of which we feel this particular proposed development is outside of that context by probably a factor of at least twofold in terms of density. Thank you.
Sir, can I ask you a question? Are you familiar with what sort of the going standard is across the city for how many units per acre is common?
I know that it varies greatly. With all due respect, what I would say is that Complete Communities asks to look at the context in which the redevelopment is taking place, and the current context vis-a-vis Bard Place is approximately 15,000 square foot lots, as opposed to lots that are less than half that size, and rear yards that are being asked to be placed at 20 feet along the back, as opposed to homes that are existing that are at close to 50 feet. Certainly the home that I'm representing, the homeowners of, number 60 Bard Place.
As I look at it on here, your clients will be, or your friends will be, backing on to sort of that park area on the entrance.
There's some overlap. But you're correct. They are more to the west end of it. But there is a little bit of overlap with the beginning of the homes on that stretch of the proposed development.
That's all my questions. Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate you coming out. We have Karina Chamber. No.
Gabor.
I'm sorry. State your name and address, please.
Sure. My name is Karina Gamboa. I'm married to Ilan Bufo. We are both owners of 64 Bard Place, which is situated just behind the big houses that are going to be built. And three houses are going to be facing my backyard. As I mentioned before, my husband, Ilan Bufo, who couldn't come because he had a trip already planned, and this letter just got to me by my neighbor, Linda Hilash, when I came to see my house. I never received this letter. I never met this person before, and nobody left anything in by my door, which is what people usually do when they go by and they really want to communicate with you. They will leave a letter or an envelope by the door. I never received anything of this, and was my neighbor who came, and friend as well, who came and told me about this hearing, because the big sign that is... The Mr. Serrano says this is a big sign right on Shaftesbury, cannot be seen because it's a two-way street, and the sign is facing to the Assiniboine Forest. And when you are driving, you are not looking at the signs to look for a sign. So it's not properly placed, and the letters are too small. I moved to the house in 2008 when I moved to Winnipeg. I lived before in Toronto and London, Ontario. We moved because of our jobs. My husband is a pediatric cardiologist and I'm a pediatric dentist, and we thought that this was the best city for our kids to live in. I have two kids, a three-year-old daughter and a six-year-old boy, and this house was our dream house. We bought it because for us it was the best for our family. And because we have two dogs as well, we thought it was going to be our dream house and we will never move again. As mentioned before, this property is on sale, and it's because of this construction. We never thought of moving, but I can't live with a construction just behind my house, especially when it's going to be so close. And when I have two kids and I'm going to have workers all the time, in my backyard almost, building these big houses. My three-year-old and my six-year-old boy, they play very often in the backyard, and they make a lot of noise. So if these big houses are going to be focusing on people that are already old and they don't want to have kids in their house, so how am I going to know that my kids are going to be fine there making noise, or I'm going to be called anytime and asking to keep my kids inside my house or my dogs, for example. I put this house for sale in September. That is when I found out that these properties were going to be built. And it was a very hard decision because, as I told you before, this house is our dream home, and we did a lot of renovations, and we spent $300,000 in this house, which we can't recover right now. In fact, it's been 6 months on the market, and I had to reduce the property value, and nobody wants to buy the house because of the development that is coming in this area. I'm very worried about the construction, the traffic that is going to cause, and also this land doesn't have sewer, it doesn't have water. I mentioned before it was going to be brought from Bard Place, which is from the little path that my neighbor just mentioned, that is between the houses of 72 and 62, I think. That's going to be totally blocked by construction cars, and we don't know what else. I'm also very concerned about the demolition of the trees and the bushes that are actually in the backyard. And my backyard has a pie shape, which means that it's small in the front and it's very, very big on the back. So it's going to my backyard. Actually, my fence is very long, and my fence is very low as well, which was built that way because we could see the nature on the back. The school is right there, which is very nice to have, and we see students all the time running on that area, going back and forward or playing different sports, as I see a lot of people also going to the Assiniboine, taking their dogs and exercising through that space. I also want to mention that that since I found out about all of this, I've suffered from depression, and since I found out this, I was doing very, very bad. My doctor has all the documentation about this because the stress was too much. We had to buy another house because we were afraid to lose it, right, on Charleswood by the Assiniboine River. And we thought, well, we'll sell this house fast, and then we'll have the other one to renovate, but at least we'll have a forest on the back. We have the river because, as I told you, I need a green space because of my depression. I don't like crowding cities or crowding spaces, and that's why we're here as well. I'm originally from Mexico City. So we bought this house. We bought the other house in September, so it's been 9 months since we've been paying for two houses, and we've been spending a lot of money, and I've been living in both houses, and I have to take care of two houses because of this, because I can't sell it. And as I told you, I reduced just the value a few weeks ago, $50,000, and even though it's now a more affordable property, people still refer to that construction that is going to be right there on the backyard. I also have a playground where my kids play all the time. I have a kitchen, my barbecue, everything is facing that side. There's not going to be any space for us, you know, to spend outside in the outdoors. Even though the winter here is too long and it's a few months where we can enjoy, but whatever it was, we could really enjoy it a lot with barbecues and our friends. We invite our friends every 1st of July to watch the fireworks from there because it's the best view, and they love coming to my house. So now I can't do even that. The other part I wanted to mention was I disagree completely in the backyards. There's a ditch right in our front, in the backyard by the fence. There's a big ditch there, which I don't know what they're going to do with it because being there is going to affect even more my property, their property, because it's there for something, right? And I think that's all I have to say. I just wanted to make sure that I know these properties can't stop from being built, but I also want to tell that this is not a good thing for my family, especially, and from the neighbors that are facing that part of the street, since we've been living as we are for many, many years, and we are used to not having anybody there, and we feel like being more outdoors. I have also big windows on the backyard, and I have no curtains. But I never needed curtains. So my privacy and my daughter's privacy, which her bedroom is facing that way as well, is going to be compromised. I think that's all.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yep.
Appreciate you coming. We have two other folks that are registered for information, and that would be Cheryl McGinnis. Would you like to speak?
She was information or opposition. I wasn't sure at the outset. I hadn't heard the proposals.
State your name and your address, please.
Sure. It's Cheryl McInnes. I live at 425 Shaftesbury. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to address this group, interested parties. I have a number of concerns over this proposal. I'm going to start with a few points along the way that others have brought up that I think are valid. The notification on this proposal, I think there probably were a few glips along the way. I agree with the lady who mentioned about reading a sign while you're going down traffic is very difficult to do. I actually took the time to pull my car in and go and read the sign. It was quite a large sign, and I had phoned the city and I had called your office as well, Paula, as far as getting information because I saw it in the newspaper. So I think probably the formal requirements were there, but in terms of public consultation with the community, I think that was quite lacking. The sign that I read then gave me a little more information. Again, I was phoning around and probably bothering people at the city. Who do I find out about this, et cetera? And actually, I phoned your office, Mr. Sorno, and no one called me back. I was rather disappointed in that, being that I live on the street that you're proposing this development be accessed by. I think that that was particularly...
You're addressing this...
I'm sorry. That was a particularly a disappointing aspect to this for myself. I've lived in the neighborhood most of my life. I've lived on Shaftesbury for over 20 years now. I've seen a lot of development over the years, both when the neighborhood was first being developed and since then some of the, I wouldn't call it infill, but filling in some of the gaps that were not developed, some of the newer parts, South Tuxedo, etc. This proposal, as I understand it, and I have a little better understanding right now, and I'm glad that I do, I think the density concerns me. I would agree with the earlier comments that the benchmark for the neighborhood is quite different than what's being proposed. I don't know if the city had a view of what they were expecting for this piece of land. I'm in the dark on that one. I'm wondering if there was ever consideration or perhaps the possibility to access this site from Bard Place. Is there anyone that can shed some light on that for me?
No.
Okay. Traffic is a major, major concern. Traffic has already increased from Sterling Land Development and increased traffic on the doubled roadway. The people that are going to be impacted the most, in my opinion, are probably myself and my neighbors. I happen to live at 425. There's really limited access to the site that is proposed being developed. Taylor is close by, Grant is close by, so it's possible that some of the traffic wouldn't be feeding in front of my home, but a good portion of it would be. There's no question about that. I'm concerned about the property values. Well, the applicant has suggested that they're going to be high-value homes, as in big-ticket properties. The lots are smaller, with very small backyards and side yards, and I think that that does compromise the integrity of the neighborhood and potentially can be devaluing for people that are looking to live in the neighborhood or already live there and have the expectation that there's more space between, etc. It also concerns me that Shaftesbury High School was never consulted. I just presumed that these were things that would have been done. And, I mean, there's about 500 or 600 students that go there from age about 13 to 18 every day in the usual school months. They walk along that area as well. There's a sidewalk there. You know, there definitely there should be a consideration for how that may impact them. I'm presuming as well that the Canadian Mennonite University was never consulted, although they're also right there. To my knowledge, there was no notice whatsoever to Shaftesbury, as I think was indicated earlier. And I think we form the lion's share of where that impact is going to be potentially a concern. The properties that have been spoken about aren't going to have any traffic in front of them. The access is all coming on my street in front of my house, where my children are and my dog is, and it's a hazard. There's absolutely no question about that. The police are there frequently for all the people just buzzing through. I think it's going to be very difficult for traffic to access this area in a safe manner at most times, other than not even non-peak, other than maybe late night or something like that. I had trouble pulling in there to look at the placard that was the sign was that was up, and then pulling out again. I had to sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait. just to get in. And I see that as a hazard potentially for the people that would be living there. And I know sometimes you almost can't get in and out of there. I drive there every single day. I think providing information to 17 property owners on a proposal of something of this scale and size that can affect the neighborhood to such a great extent certainly was lacking in terms of scope and understanding of what the community, what would be reasonable to provide to a community of people that it's going to affect. Those were the main points I had. I've covered density, property value, the high school and the Mennonite University not being notified. And I'm going to leave that question with council in terms of accessibility for this site, if there is anything else. I'm sure that the city doesn't want to jeopardize residents and others who frequently use that roadway by putting something in place that's hazardous in terms of access. So those are the main points I have. I'm not adverse to development overall. If it were perhaps lower density, I think it would be a bit of an easier sell. I think the traffic situation is not going to go away, and I don't feel that that has been adequately addressed at all. I don't know all the ins and outs of the scope of the land that's there for access otherwise, but that would be very helpful for, I guess that would be the planning department that would have that information. Is that correct?
And you're asking regarding access off
yes.
of Bard?
Yes. Well, access from wherever, but I presume Bard would be the closest.
Well, I know there's, green space. I don't know if we own that green space on the north side of Bard there. Who owns that property?
It's a hydro right-of-way.
It's a hydro right-of-way.
Okay. So maybe that's a prospect that can be addressed.
It's not wide enough for a road.
No. Like the eye view I'm looking at, guys, is, it looks like there's some scrub bush there, or are there trees? Just immediately to the east of the pathway that runs on the east side of 72. What is that behind you?
That's actually, I'm a for information person, and I'd like to talk about
okay.
that a little bit.
What is that?
That is a city-owned sort of narrow walkway.
Yeah, no, what's beyond that, though? It looks like there's a bush.
There's St. Paul's High School fence. There's the walkway, and then there's our fence of our yard. And then there's sort of trees along the St. Paul's fence, but that's an open area that connects Bard Place through Dr. Shaftesbury High School into a Cinnamon Forest.
Right. Yeah.
She's not on the right.
Yeah, we'll let you speak when you come up.
I was just curious. It looks like bush to me, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit unclear on that as well. I just wondered if all options had been explored in that regard, especially in light of the traffic considerations that I think are going to be exacerbated by a proposal like this. And I do appreciate your comments earlier, Paula, about mentioning that Shaftesbury residents had not been consulted. I believe that is truly remiss.
So,
thank you.
Do we put you down in opposition, or are you still?
Currently, yes. Thank you.
You're in opposition.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Ms. McGinnis.
It wasn't clear, Grant.
Hey. I've been married twice, so.
Okay. Is there maybe one?
I'm going to change yours to in opposition then, make it clear on the form. Okay?
I didn't have enough information.
Okay. And our last person, not sure about in opposition, but here for information, and I'm guessing you're Mickey Wenner? Wenner, sir?
Not Wenner.
Wenner. Well, looks like EI here, but anyway.
I know, but it's not.
If you could state your address, that'd be great.
Sure. Mickey Wenner at 72 Bard Place.
Thank you.
And I first of all have to apologize because I was coming from another meeting and I missed most of Mr. Sorno's information that he provided, but I have been online and tried to read and catch up, and I did receive his letter informing about the change to that property. I think probably the issue of reducing the size of the backyards has been addressed sufficiently, but I think that is a problem. My house does not back on that fence, but I think for my neighbors, that bringing of all of those houses closer to their backyard is certainly an issue for them, and I support the fact that they're going to have this reduced sort of buffer zone, and their privacy and their space is being jeopardized, particularly when we purchased our lots, certainly at a premium, you know, at the time we all built on the street. As we were just talking about, 72 Bard Place, our whole backyard runs adjacent to the public walkthrough. Now, we heard when we purchased our property that, in fact, initially that walkthrough had been part of our property, and that there was requests from the community that access to Shaftesbury School and Assiniboine Forest not be blocked. So before we purchased it, our lot was reduced in size to allow the city to control that space. So I guess a concern that I have there is what's going to happen to that space. I would be in total disagreement of having a road there, and it's too narrow to accommodate any kind of road anyway. But I'm not sure if Mr. Sorno addressed this or not. I'm just wondering, when he said the services are going to be brought from Bard Place, what does that mean? Does that mean that whole walkway will be, I don't know, torn up and things are coming through there, and will it be inaccessible during construction? Who's responsible for, if it is torn up, restoring it to its original function and having it, you know, restoring any damage, because it is a public area that others have mentioned that everyone uses. We've just gone through about 2.5 years of St. Paul's High School doing reconstruction, and I have to say the backup beep of the backup trucks, about, I have a drink maybe every day, but I could have had two. No. I think that we do have some concerns about the length of the construction period. Is this going to be something where all of the condominiums are going to be built simultaneously and be similar and be done and people purchase them? Or is it going to be, you know, one shot at a time, and it could be 10 years before this construction is finished? Because I think that, as others have mentioned, just having construction going on for a really lengthy period of time is quite annoying. And again, as others have said, development happens. But I guess I'm concerned about my neighbor's buffer area. I'm concerned about the how these services are going to come through, and I'm concerned about the length and the noise of the construction period. Can I ask, as I am here for information, where would the services come from? Do we know? Like,
at this point, I don't think there's. We haven't seen a recent report yet. It's up to the applicant to.
Because it said, I think it was like from Bard Place. So to me, the only place it could come through is that walkway. I mean, I don't know that much about construction, but we don't know anything.
Mr. Serrano did mention possibly from St. Paul's High School, but, you know.
Okay.
I'm having a hard time knowing where that would come unless it was so straight.
Well, and it is interesting because.
From their parking lot or whatever.
Yeah, Shaftesbury High School is really the property adjacent to this development versus St. Paul's High School, and I think St. Paul's is mentioned.
The school itself doesn't. It's the school division that would be in discussion.
Right.
The principal.
Like Pembina Trails or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I can't say I'm totally in opposition, but I don't know if you have concerns. Does that mean you're in opposition? I'm here for information and have concerns that I've raised. That's okay. Sort of where I stand.
We'll leave you with information.
Leave you as for information?
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whatever you prefer.
Okay.
Okay. All right, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to the applications? Items 1 and 2, subdivision and variance. Are there any further requests for people to speak in opposition? Seeing none, I will invite Mr. Serrano back to the dais to respond to what he has heard. Okay. I'm also supposed to ask, is there anyone else here for information?
I have to go because my husband is not here, I have to pick up
home. Okay.
My kids.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a few comments in relation to the commentaries that were made by the individuals who appeared in opposition or for information. And maybe the best place is to start with the last party. And I just want to comment on that. We have not asked for a reduced yard alignment other than on the east end of the property. So we have not asked for a reduced yard on anything abutting Bard Place. No request, no application has been made for that. That's number one. There was comments by the last speaker and a few people about the public walkway. We haven't proposed anything. We don't control the public walkway. It is exactly that. It's owned by the City of Winnipeg. So we're not planning to change it, except if the city wanted us to do something to landscape it, we'd probably entertain it to improve it, because I walk it too. I mean, I live very close to this property. So, as to the public walkway, we haven't proposed anything. As to length of construction, look, this is 9 houses. I bought my property at Bard and Holland, and I built 28 years ago. I saw the whole neighborhood everywhere around there being built. It was a construction zone for years. So, I think we can get carried away with the emotion of this idea of, some construction. This is very non-dense. The second last speaker referred to this as a problem of density. As I said, this property could hold 66 units, and yet we are talking about luxury bungalows, 9. You can't reduce this any further. What really these people are saying is to the city, don't sell the property. We never want it developed. We want a cabbage patch there forever. That's not realistic, because the city itself made a decision to sell the property. And what we have to concern ourselves with is the character and density of the property. This is a low-density development. The person was critical, and I take the blame for this. If there were other, I looked at the property. I know the area. I looked at who was the people who would believe themselves most to be impacted. It was Bard Place, and I covered that. One lady said she phoned my office. I have no record of that. They all have my email. If they thought there was some comments that they should pass on to me, I was more than willing, and I have spoken to some of the people on Bard Place, albeit in a social setting. As to contacting Shaftesbury is a huge open field away from this. I'm having difficulty understanding how 9 houses would be considered to have an impact on something that is, I don't know the distance, but it's a huge, I walked this property frequently to get a sense of it in relation to everybody else. It's nowhere near Shaftesbury, and it's going to be fenced. What is the issue about Shaftesbury? I don't understand it. I would never have conceived. It wasn't that I thought about it and said, no, you know, they're interested or should be interested, but I'm not going to talk to them. I never even looked at it as them having any interest whatsoever. It's too far away across an open field. This is a low-density development. Cheryl, I think it is. Sorry, McGinnis. So again, she was one of the people who mentioned density. Well, if this is turned down, maybe the next developer will be doing 66 units, and we'll see how happy people are with that. That's what the property is capable of holding. Ms. McGinnis's biggest issue seemed to be traffic. I would like to ask you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Community Committee, how much more traffic is generated by 9 homes? This is not going to have a material impact on the traffic on Shaftesbury. And she was ready to sacrifice the people on Bard Place by saying, well, why don't we bring in a roadway from Bard Place? I mean, roadways have to come in from somewhere. And the city's contemplation was that this property would be accessed through Shaftesbury. So 9 houses is not going to add materially to the traffic situation as it exists. There were some comments about services. There has to be a servicing agreement. The city will control all of that. So the services can come up either Shaftesbury or they can come partly from Bard, but they would not all fit on that walkway. So that is not how we're going to get services. Mr. Martin spoke on behalf of a homeowner at 60 Bard Place. Understand one thing in relation to the statistics he was giving you. His client is someone on a pie, so their lot goes like that, and of course it's going to be big at the back. Whereas if you go across to the south side of Bard Place, they are more normal lots, one after another, and the size of those lots obviously doesn't compare to those people who are on the pie. I live down the street. I have a neighbor behind me with a 2-story home. I'm not concerned about privacy. We live in an urban environment. There are going to be, and for the people on Bard Place, hopefully just bungalow homes behind them and not high-rise buildings. So I don't see this as a situation, as Mr. Martin suggested to you. This is like worlds away from the context of Bard Place. Well, I'm submitting to you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Community Committee, this is not worlds away. This is a nice development proposed on a street that will look not dissimilar to Bard Place. Mr. Martin talked about, as I say, decreased privacy, increased vehicles, noise. It's 9 houses. I mean, Bard Place was built backing on Billingham. Not one person had a problem with that on Billingham when Bard Place was developed. Now they were putting houses behind them. That's an urban landscape to have houses behind someone else's house. How much noise do you imagine there's going to be from 9 homes of empty nesters? I mean, you know, we can all come forward and extrapolate to the extreme and, you know, appeal to emotion. But let's be analytical about what this development is. It is low density. It can't be any lower density and anyone develop it at all. There's tremendous cost to buy it, but tremendous cost to service it. If you can't do 9 houses on it, then the city better keep it. Because otherwise, there is absolutely no use for this property at all. Or let it go the other way and let somebody develop it in a dense fashion with 66 units. There was the lady, and I apologize, I wasn't able to fully catch her name, Gabor, who's at 64 Bard Place, but she really isn't at 64 Bard Place. And she suggests to you, and this is where it appeals to emotion, that all of a sudden, because we want to develop a piece, she can't sell her house. That house has been for sale at least one more time than the time since September. And believe me, back in September, nobody had any concept of this thing was not even in its infancy at that time. Nobody knew that was even, there was any development going to take place there. That's not the problem. Houses will sell forever for whatever their real price is. So I don't know if her house is overpriced or what the situation, but she emotionally suggests to you that somehow because of this development, they're never going to be able to sell their house. You know, any analytical look at that will tell you that doesn't make any logical sense. If that were the case, nobody would ever buy a house in a new area because there's going to be something new beside them. And in all candor, I told planning and I told you there was one house we couldn't deliver the letter to because they not only had no mailbox, they weren't home, and in speaking to other neighbors on Bard Place, her neighbors, they told me that they had vacated for some time, were not living there, and it was an empty house. So I you know, maybe I'm taking too much umbrage at the fact that I'm being dumped on for that. We try to engage the Bard Place people in a dialogue. Then she said that because of the potential of construction behind her house, she had to move. From a time perspective, that doesn't work at all. We had Peter and Sherry McDonald who spoke. You know, they allege to you, and this is, I mean, I hear this kind of thing at zoning hearings all the time, that this will knock down the value, or did knock down the value of the house at 64. That house has been for sale, not just this time, previously it hasn't sold. I don't know enough about it, what the problem is. I don't accept that idea, and there's certainly no analytical evidence of that. They talked about the rear yard reduction. But again, we are not asking we're not applying for any reduction in rear yard except in relation to the east boundary of the property. They were concerned about access being cut off to the walkway. I've explained we're not touching the walkway. Seem to also be concerned about traffic related to Shaftesbury. I suppose if the people in Shaftesbury had their way, the traffic would be coming through Bard Place. I mean, at the end of the day, I ask you as a committee to recognize some fundamentals. One, it's the city who is offering this property for sale. Two, that the question is the proposed development in reasonable harmony with the surrounding area. The planning department is of that view, and I submit to you that is, in fact, the correct view. And so I content myself with those remarks and leave it to you to do the right thing.
Thank you, Mr. Toronto. Any last questions?
Just in light of some of what we heard today, tell me again who you spoke with at St. Paul's High School.
Father Len.
Father who?
Len.
Len?
Yes, he's the president.
Len.
I'm sorry, I don't know the father's last name.
And he was supportive?
No, I didn't say he was supportive. We just dialogued about it. He obviously didn't have any concerns about it.
And
I didn't ask him to write a letter of support or anything else.
But he was supportive, is what you're saying.
No, I said he didn't voice any concern at all about the development.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Questions for our admin?
Thanks, Mr. Serrano. We appreciate it. Just before we carry on with the administration, we have two letters which will be read onto the file. One from Mickey Winner, who came along, and also from Mr. Ken Hillish, and it came from Timothy Martin. So, okay.
I don't know if this is appropriate, but can I ask one more question?
No, we're close. Thanks. Paula.
Yeah, I have questions for administration. How many vehicles would this complex generate?
I'm sorry, Councilor, I couldn't hear the question.
How many vehicles would this proposal generate?
Mm-hmm. Is there an average 1.7 many vehicles?
Sure, perhaps. We did not have Public Works conduct a traffic count on this.
Be about 90 vehicles.
Okay, yeah. So... December 4th, 2012, this committee received a report that based on a traffic analysis of Shaftesbury. And number five was, point A, widen Shaftesbury Boulevard to a four-lane divided roadway between Wilkes and Grant when such widening is warranted, based on Section 7 of the MMM report. The city hired MMM to actually do traffic analysis in this area. This widening is estimated to cost approximately $7.7 million. We already have significant traffic congestion in this area, but the report does not make any mention of this issue. Is this something you even looked at? There are certain times of the day that I would expect cars could not get in and out of this, and I'm not thinking about any barred entrance to this site. The only access point would be Shaftesbury.
Speaking on Public Works, what they've said is that they would allow a private access, like one private access to the site.
Right.
When Shaftesbury is twinned, yeah. They would not allow a median opening for that.
Okay, so people could only turn right and head north.
That'd be right in.
Yeah. Okay, different topic. In my opinion, and having served 3.5 years on council, I've seen lots of projects, and this is a small one. And this has to be one of the most poorly conducted consultation. Did the department oversee some of the consultation? I mean, dropping a letter has proven to be the worst way to do consultation. You have three neighboring properties. I could live with one out of three being unhappy with this, but we have three out of three. What's the oversight then?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we have consultation guidelines, but we don't have any requirements per se. So we can encourage the developer to communicate with neighbors, and in this instance, we did have a dialogue to discuss that it was likely that the people on Bard would be the most affected. So we were supportive of the notion that he communicate with those residents on Bard Place and provide feedback to us with any discussion that took place.
Okay. Some of the issues that were raised include the area size of the lots. The average adjoining properties are 16,000. These lots are going to be 4,000 in area. How is this in keeping with the neighborhood?
Sure. I think, for a few points of discussion.
Paula, to correct, some are 4,000, but some are
It's still a quarter of what
The smallest would be 4,768, and the largest around 6,500. So I guess, obviously, you know, the size is a drastic deviation from what's on Bard Place at the in the cul-de-sac, and even so from the typical 10,000 square foot properties along Bard. But we do recognize that, well, for a few reasons. One, there is a hydro easement that runs through this property, restricting any development that may occur on top of that easement. As such, those properties have been designed in that manner that they are smaller and more compact. The second is that we do encourage alternative forms of housing, and in this instance, they are condos, which afford different lifestyles that, you know, require reduced maintenance of yards. And to that regard, we are supportive of the smaller property because the intent or the market that this is geared towards is those that, you know, do not wish to have large yards. They wish to remain in the neighborhood when they can move out of their larger homes and have less responsibility for maintenance.
Keep going.
Sure.
So what is the proposed length from Shaftesbury to this turnaround? And has this been run by fire services for a vehicle to go around?
It has been run, but the requirement, final plans would need to be approved by fire to ensure that it does meet the building code requirements.
How many feet is this?
300, is it 305 the total?
Okay, and what's their limit? 110.
Meters.
Yeah.
So that's
going three times the length?
Desirable. 110. Yeah. For the building. The fire services have commented on that.
Okay, I have seen the department, your department, not recommend approaches like that because it's so long.
Those are for public roads, like right-of-ways.
Yeah.
This is not a private public right-of-way.
Private.
It's private. So it's, I mean, there's different, if you want, different rules.
Okay.
For a city of Winnipeg, private right-of-way cul-de-sac would have to be.
How many?
Well, it's 300 is the desirable. 105, 110, yeah. if going back to Ridgewood.
Yeah, no, another infill we did, and we were told it couldn't go.
But I'm just saying, Ridgewood, recently,
yeah.
It was 105, and we went up to 110.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no more questions. Can we take a break?
Sure. How long is the break?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay, sorry, can I ask a question? For some reason, I've been in the